Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
All right. Hey, welcome to the Medium Insights Hour, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation and Signs of Life Radio, where we gather here once a month to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. I'm Roman Karpyshka, your host. I'm very excited to welcome back by popular demand, the one and only Joe Peretta back to the show. Joe, he's a certified medium with the Forever Family Foundation. And let me tell you a little bit about him. As a child, he had a hard time hiding his affinity for the spirit world. After the death of his maternal grandmother, he would see, feel, receive signs from her on a daily basis. And in his teen years, he started having prophetic dreams and visions, which he always didn't always understand. And this made him shy away from his gifts for over about a decade. However, after guidance and membership, he finally relented and embraced his gift. He now enjoys a wonderful reputation as a very evidential medium, and he's very respected among his peers. And he's actually, just like me, he's the host of one of the shows with the Signs of Life Radio, the Medium and Messages shows. And his website is www.joeperetta, that's P-E-R-R-E-T-A.com. And again, ladies and gentlemen, our show is commercial free. No interruptions. Sit back, put your feet up, curl up with a nice blanket, pet loved one, have a drink on us, and let us stimulate your intellect for the next hour or so. But before we introduce Joe, a couple of ground rules. Joe's not doing any readings today. And, we're doing this for research and informational purposes only. So your questions are very, very welcome. And if you do have any questions for our esteemed guest, please call 1-888-627-6008. Okay. And just a quick couple of reminders that Bob Ginsberg's book is available on Amazon, Medium Explosion, A Guide to Navigating the World of Those Who Claim to Communicate with the Dead. That is an amazing book. Bob and I actually talked about it a couple of shows ago. It was really, really interesting. And all the proceeds from that show go to support the Forever Family Foundation. So please open up your wallets, buy the book. It's amazing. And also just want to continue reminding you guys about the Netflix docuseries Surviving Death, which features Bob and the late Fran Ginsberg and the Forever Family Foundation in some of the episodes. I think it's episode 4. So that's it. That's my spiel. And with all of that said, Joe, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right. I can't complain.
Awesome. Yeah. It's starting to warm up, and looks like spring is just around the corner.
I don't
care what Punxsutawney Phil said.
Right. Forget that groundhog.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got a slew of new questions that came in from our listeners over the last little while. So we're going to be diving into those. But before we do that, Joe, you want to take a call? We already got a caller.
Sure, why not?
Awesome. Okay, so we have Fabiola from New York on line one. Fabiola, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you, guys. Thank you for taking my call. Hi, Joe.
You're so welcome.
Hi.
So I have, if it's okay, I have two questions.
Sure.
The first question I have is, do you ever feel like really tired and almost like dysregulated after you do a reading? Has that happened to you? Is that something common?
You know, Fabiola, it's so funny you asked that, because I actually feel that today. I don't know what it was. But sometimes if I do a reading where the person, really has, honestly, you know what? No, I can't even say that. I was going to say sometimes when a person has a lot going on in their life, I'll be exhausted, but that's not always true. I find it more true that when, because, you know, not everyone that I get is from Forever Family Foundation. So, you know, a lot of people who follow Forever Family have significant loss and they really need to talk to a medium. But I do get a lot of people who kind of are just curious and really didn't have, you know, thank goodness, have not had that much loss or grief in their lives. And those are actually usually the readings that kind of tire me out a little bit more, because I have to work a little bit harder to get the information. Because if someone sits down in front of me and, you know, the only person coming through is their great grandmother and they really didn't know that woman, you know, it's, I have to keep sort of asking and you know, bringing information through. So I do get super drained sometimes. But today I was actually pretty tired today after my readings, which is funny because I had one less than I usually do, but I guess it was just my energy level today.
Joe, just to follow up on that. So you get tired based on, like, if you dig in a lot, like you ask more questions
of an energetic thing. For me, when someone really has to hear a message from spirit, I almost don't have to do anything. The reading kind of does itself. Like, I don't even have to try. I'm not extending my energy at all. I'm just like, okay, like this is, you know, they won't even let me get through my initial speech, you know, in the beginning when I'm, that I give people at the start of a reading. But yeah, it's more exhausting if I have to, I'm like, okay, so, you know, all right. You know, their great grandmother brought through everything that she could, that this person would understand or it would mean to her or, you know, or him. And then I'm kind of like, all right, well, who else is there? And, you know, it's kind of like I'm probing the other side for more information. And you know, I think everyone finds me for a reason. There's always a reason they sit in front of me, for a reading. But sometimes that reason is not going to fill up a whole reading. So I kind of have to ask the spirit, you know, like, is there anything else you want to talk about? And then that's when my energy starts to get a little bit lower.
I see. And then the other question, really, to follow up from that, what do you do to prepare for your readings, to kind of like preserve your energy? And what do you do anything afterwards? Like right now you said, okay, I'm kind of tired. Is there any ritual, anything you do to kind of ground yourself again or regroup?
Beforehand, I'm kind of no frills. Like if I'm really feeling off that day, I'll meditate. That's really the only thing that I'll do is meditate, or I'll do like a little visualization of sort of filling myself with light and connecting to the other side, or even prayer. I'm not the biggest religious person, but I am very spiritual, and prayer of any kind does kind of help connect you to that, the source or whatever you want to call it, the universe, God, whatever word you want to use for it. And that does help me connect with the other side for sure. And afterward, a shower is always really good. Water is definitely super cleansing for me. Sometimes I'll burn sage, but if I'm feeling not so much tired, but if I'm feeling very like I haven't grounded myself, a big substantial meal helps a lot. Like I'm Italian, so I'll just eat like a lot of pasta and I feel better, or like a steak or something that's not, you know, like you can't just eat some celery and call it a day. You know what I mean? You need like it grounds me. And I've heard that from a few other mediums too. I mean, they were all Italian, the ones who said it, you know, we're like obsessed with food. So it might be a little bit of a cultural thing for us too, but eating and like a shower just to kind of wash the day off will help me a lot to kind of ground myself again.
And the last question really quick, do you use any amulets for protection or anything of that sort?
No, not really. I'm a person who I have really good boundaries in my personal life anyway. So I don't really usually have a problem with you know, like needing protection, but I will just sort of visualize a white light surrounding me. Honestly, sometimes I forget. I know it's like not great practice, like energetic hygiene, but I do forget. But I there's nothing wrong with using it if you feel like it helps, but I'm very no frills. I would forget to put it on. That's why I don't really use anything like that. I'd like leave it in the other room and forget.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, both of you.
You're welcome, Fabiola. Thank you for your call.
And
bye-bye.
Bye.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate the listening aspect of it. So we have also another caller. We have a Nelson from Hawaii on line 4. Nelson, are you there?
Hi.
Hi, Nelson. Welcome to Signs of Life. You got a question?
Yeah, if it's okay, I have two questions for the medium.
Sure.
Joe, my friend years ago said I was psychic, and I'm a skeptic by nature, and I didn't believe him. And then while I was at work, he told me, "Would you like a ride?" I said, "No, I don't need a ride. Thank you." And then he said, "You know what? The tire is going to pop." So I took the bus, and then next thing you know, the tire popped. So my skepticism just went out the window. So recently, after my dog died, I was able to communicate with them using a Bluetooth phone. Also, my brother-in-law came through while I was talking with my sister. He died like 10 years ago, over that amount. And he came through without, you know, me asking. My question is, you know, the spirits, are they always like my dog, I know, is always around me. I just sense it. But for my brother-in-law, is he always around his wife? Because he even sent a message to me regarding her, and she did verify the information.
In my experience with doing so many readings, they're always around us. They're always around, and they're always trying to make their presence known, even if we don't always feel it or don't always notice. But they're always around.
Okay. My other question is: last week, a pet parent called the show, and she had a question regarding where our our pets are. I felt for her because she didn't really get a clear answer, but she did get some kind of help. My question is in regards to that. If once our dogs cross over, when they cross over, do they become like our spirit guides?
I wouldn't say that, because for me, the way that I experience it is spirit guides are kind of on a different level than the people that we were here with or the animals that we were here with. In my experience, whenever an animal comes through, they're in the same place that our loved ones are in, which you could call it heaven or the other side or whatever, you know, whatever name you want to give it. I don't think they really go anywhere different than, let's say, you know, your grandmother or father or whoever, you know?
Okay, great. Thank you for that answer. I have a friend of mine who is a pet communicator, and she said she'd be happy to appear on your show. Her name is Karen Anderson. She'd be happy to appear on your show, but if not, that's fine. I was just talking to her about your foundation, and I thought she'd be helpful for people, because I do notice that some pet parents that are grieving do call your show. And also, I want to thank Roman for sharing about Anthony Borgia, because I've read all three books and it resonated with me. And thank you for sharing with us that.
You're welcome. Nelson, as for we're more into people than pets on this show, but there's always possibilities. I would definitely, communicate with send an email to the Forever Family Foundation, and we'll take it up with them and see if maybe they can be it might be an interesting aspect to explore on a different show. Okay.
Should Thank I write call, them Nelson. Or have her write to you guys?
Okay. Thank you for your call, Nelson.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Yeah, those are some interesting questions. It's first time I heard, of a pet becoming a spirit guide, because usually, like you said, they're on a different level. They're spirit guides are at a higher plane than humans. You know what I mean? So
that's how they always explain it to me, too, that it's a little bit of a different, like same neighborhood, different buildings, I guess, or something.
Yeah. Okay. So we have another caller. We have a Sharon all the way from Alabama. Sharon from Alabama. Welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you. I'm actually just visiting Alabama, but I do have a question, and I'm very new around the edges of this, not, in any way as a medium. But I'm curious, since so much of the focus and in reading the bio is focused on healing, if you ever get admonishment or disappointment messages and how that is then conveyed to, I guess the term is the sitter, and if it is. So
they never really come through. I shouldn't say that. So they won't ever really like yell at you or say you're doing this wrong. Or it's much more constructive and put in a positive light. Every now and again, I'll read someone, and if they've had lung cancer in the past and they're still smoking, you know, their mother or grandmother will come through and say, you know, like, what the hell are you doing? Put down the cigarette, you know, stuff like that. But it's never really, they'll be very real with you. They'll tell you what you, you know, what's for your highest good, let's say, or if, you know, if you're doing something that's self-destructive or that's hurting someone else in your life and they need to talk about it, they will bring it up, but it's never in a, like they're not reprimanding or being mean about it. They're just more, they'll make me point it out, or, you know, they'll point it out. And then they usually will sort of offer maybe some insight from the other person, or, you know, from the other side of the situation, or offer some solution. It's never really like, you know, you're mean to your brother and, you know, I'm mad at you. I don't get stuff like that.
Okay. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Of course.
You're very welcome, Susan. Thank you very much. Well, that was an interesting call. I mean, they're all interesting. Everybody, you never know what you can expect.
Yes, very true.
Good. So, hey, let's get to some of our listener questions that were emailed in. First question I got is, do evil or dark spirits show up in a reading?
No. I've in personal readings, no. Like, I don't get that. Like, I know a lot of people who have gone to some non-forever family mediums or psychics, and they'll sit down and say, oh, they told me I had this bad spirit with me, and, you know, that's why I got divorced. And I'm like, no, you got divorced because, you know, you and whoever you were married to were not meant, like, it just wasn't a good relationship. That's why I got divorced. But I will say that there was one or two times that it was actually early on in me doing readings, I haven't gotten this in a while, that I channeled somebody who had actually been a murderer, who had killed someone. Not in like a war or anything, like in an actual like criminal capacity. And that was interesting because most people would think that they were, you know, from traditional religious point of view, would think that they're like in hell, or that they're, you know, would come through as this evil spirit. And they kind of didn't come through any different than anyone else who had major emotional baggage, you know? Because anyone who could do that does have major emotional and maybe some mental, you know, issues as well. So during personal readings, no. I mean, I have been to a couple of, I can't even say it's evil because I don't even like that word really. Mm-hmm. But I've read a couple of like places where there was some less than positive energy there. But I'm talking like abandoned jails where people were tortured and like, you know, like stuff like that. But in a personal reading, that it's much less common. I've honestly never even crossed paths with it, to be honest. But it's much less common, I think, than like Hollywood and movies and stuff would have people believe.
Oh yeah, well, Hollywood wants you to believe that stuff because it sells movies, right? It sells movie tickets, and video rentals, and Netflix, and all that. So yeah, of course, it's not as. I mean, let's face it. Pretty much anything in life is not like as dramatic and exciting as it is in the movies, you know?
Right. I tell people that all the time when they find that I'm a medium. They're like, oh my God, really? And I'm like, my life's just as boring as yours, believe me. Like,
That's right, exactly.
It's any more interesting. I do not have any more answers than you do. Like, I just, you know, connect with something else that a lot of people, other people don't. That's all.
That is the quote of the day, man. That is so well spoken. I really appreciate that. So let's get to our next question. This is one that somebody writes in. What happens to sociopaths, rapists, pedophiles when they cross over?
So funny that I even brought up that the murderer or two that I had. Uh-huh. Honestly, and a lot of people might not like to hear this answer, but
okay,
they all go to the same place that we all do. Like I've never gotten anyone who said that they weren't on the other side and at peace, even if they did really bad things when they were alive.
There's different planes, though.
Yeah, I honestly, the way that they describe it to me is it's more like different planes, but it's almost like you put yourself there, if that makes sense.
Like yeah, it depends on your vibration, your energy.
Exactly. Your own consciousness, sort of, if you're vibrating, if that's the right word to use, I don't know if that's actually, it's an actual vibration, but...
Yeah, we can't even begin to describe.
We can't even begin to, but that's the language we use.
Yeah.
You're vibrating kind of on a higher level. You'll it's like living in the same town, but living in two different houses. You're in the same place, really. But, you're kind of on one level. And they did explain to me once that the more evolved you are on the other side, it's sort of like your consciousness grows. I don't know if the word stronger is correct, or there's just more, like you have more capabilities is the feeling I kind of get. When you're a little bit more of an evolved soul, or I should say more loving is what I mean by evolved, because it really comes down to like how loving you are and how much more willing you are to put aside anger and grudges and all that stuff.
Yeah. So Mother Teresa is not going to run into Hitler on the other side.
I mean, I don't know. I think they could. I just don't think that they...
The probabilities of that happening, I think, are very low. Anything's possible, but...
But I also kind of feel like we can't think of the other side in like physical proximity, because they always tell me that they sort of exist outside of like we think like that, but that's not how it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of everyone is together, right? I don't think space time is applicable for the other side, so I think that's why they always tell me like everyone's in the same place. But again, it's more their own, I guess, consciousness that's like you have your stuff that you're, I guess, vibrating on or experiencing, and I have mine, but I don't think that they're in different places. And they also kind of explain to you that our souls still learn on the other side. Yep. So I think that those people who may not have been good people and murderers and rapists and all that, I think they have a lot more learning and sort of like, I guess the word is maybe reckoning with themselves or reconciling things with themselves and with the people that they hurt, rather mm-hmm. than someone like Mother Teresa, who was a objectively a nice lady, to say the least.
Yeah. Interesting. Here's another question. Why would a deceased loved one not come through in a reading?
I mean, there's so many reasons for that. Mm-hmm. I'll give a few that I feel are common, but I mean, there could be a million. But the number one that I see quite often is that the person that I'm reading may not be ready to hear what they have to say, even if they swear up and down that they are. I get this a lot with people who lost someone recently, like, let's just say within the last like 6 months or something. And they're like, why didn't that person come through? Are they not ready? Are they not okay? And it's none of those things. I've had people come through hours before they passed. I mean, after they passed. But I think it's more, if the truth is not going to be well received, that person's not going to come through to say that until it's time. You know what I mean? They tell me that all the time, that, that message might not have been ready for that person might not have been ready for that message. Sometimes it's also, you're expecting, I get this a lot, and I never want to judge anyone's grief or anything, but I do scratch my head every now and again. Like, I'll have someone who, they'll have, let's just say their husband passed 10 years ago, and then they'll come to me for a reading, and it was initially for to connect with their husband, and then their mother passes, a month or two before the reading with me, and their mom comes through and kind of monopolizes the whole reading. And then they're like, well, why didn't my husband come through? Like, he always comes through. And I'm like, it's because it's your mom's first time. So she's got to let you know that, that she's okay. Or, what I'm saying? So sometimes it'll be, it's not just you that's involved. It's the person on the other side too. So maybe they have some messages. And I'm not saying that you should be over it after 10 years that your husband's passed, but you've talked to him, let's say 10 times with a medium. So this time, because it's the first time with mom, she's got to come through. So that's just one example. There's just so many. I really think it's personal to each, family and each person they've read. But it's hard for me to answer because I'm not supposed to ask, questions when I'm doing a reading. So I can't, you know, if something doesn't come up, I can't say, well, you know,
right.
You know, did you have unfinished business, let's say, or something that you needed to say to your mother or your father, why they would come through. And you know what I mean? So it's, you kind of got to assess the situation. And I really just think it's based on how much need we have to speak to a specific person and how much healing it's going to do. And I think a lot of times what we want, what people want, is not always what's going to do the most healing, even though they think that it is. And that's when you kind of run into people saying, well, why wouldn't they come through? I want to, you know, I need to hear from them.
Yeah.
You kind of got to, from an objective point of view, look at the situation and say, well, actually, you know, this probably is going to help more, if that makes sense.
It sure does. Sure does. Hey, we got another caller. We have a Suzanne from New York on line 5. Suzanne from New York, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hi. Thank you.
Hi,
welcome to the show. And thanks for, my eyes aren't what they used to be. And I'm looking at text messages and I didn't see it because the previous name of the person was Sharon and then Suzanne, and it kind of looked the same. So sorry for, then I realized, hey, there's still another caller waiting. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. So I'm wondering, what happens when you walk into a crowded room, like a party or a wedding or something, and you're talking to people, do others from the other side like try to come through to give messages to people like that, or do you have to turn it off, or does that like interrupt your life?
So you know what? Not so much anymore. When I first started, it used to happen all the time. And I think part of that was just inexperience. I didn't know how to tune it out. And I think another part of it was that I kind of wanted it to happen a little bit because believe it or not, I never believe in mediums because I had grown up around them and had heard readings with my family that there was just, and this was like before Google was even possible. So I knew it was a thing. But I am a skeptical person by nature. So I think in the beginning, I kind of was like, all right, well, if you guys are really there, you know, prove it. And then if I'd walk into a room and they'd show me a girl in a green dress, then I'd walk in and then there she was, you know, and then I would talk to her and the reading was significant and you know, validating. It helped me a lot, I think. So in the beginning, it happened a lot. But honestly, now, I think because I read so many people and I've been doing it a while, it takes a lot for someone on the other side to really grab my attention. But I will say every now and again, I'll be somewhere. It happens maybe twice a year. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, boy, I'm going to end up reading someone tonight. And thank goodness, I shouldn't even say this because I'm going to jinx myself, but the person's usually on board with the whole thing. And, you know, they're like, okay, I like this stuff. But you really shouldn't, you know, just run up to people and start reading them, at least without asking, you know, first, like, this is what I do. And, you know, would you mind if I said A, B, and C, which is sort of a trap because who's going to say no at that point, right?
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
But yeah, no, if I let them run wild 100%, like I would be getting it all the time and I would never be able to function. But I turn it off because it's too much, you know, especially if I'm just trying to have like a night out, you know, I just want a dinner and a couple of drinks and then I'm over there making my waiter cry. Like I can't exist like that every night, you know?
How do you turn it off?
You know, I don't know. I just do. Like, you know, I always tell people it's like when parents just don't hear their kids, like when you just tune kids out. I think it's the same thing. Like, it's just a second nature. Like, I'm not tuned into that frequency. I'm just not paying attention to it. But it's not like I'm restraining myself. Like, I'm not walking around like, don't listen, don't listen. You know, it's not quite like that. It's just more like when I'm in reading mode, I switch something on and then I'm in reading mode. And then when I'm not, I'm just not, like I'm not doing it, you know.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank
you. You're welcome, Suzanne. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was an interesting question.
Yeah,
I know there's, you know, I you're not the first medium that I've spoken to that's able to, you know, that, you know, just turns it off and turns it on whenever, you know, and I guess it's a skill that you develop over time.
Yeah, I think
so. To do that. Yeah, absolutely. So let's take another question from the email. This one is, do all loved ones send signs?
I think so. I mean, you might not get them all the time. But or as much as you'd like to, but I do think everyone sends them, especially when they know that you know you need them. I remember, especially when you ask too, like, I can't stress that enough. The more you ask, but when you do ask, you get them. So I know a lot of people who've passed, but my grandparents are the ones that send me signs the most, I feel. My grandparents, my mom's side, but it's interesting. I'll just share the story really quick. When my dad's dad passed back in, I want to say it was 2019. I know it was before the pandemic. It was 18 or 19. I forget. And we really weren't very close. Well, we had lost touch, you know, over the years, and, you know, just things happen. And my one memory with him really was fishing. So when he died, I remember I was on the train going to Connecticut. I forget why I was going up there. And I said to him on the train, I said, you know, I know we really haven't talked in a while. I was like, but just so I know you got there, okay, could you just send me something about fishing? And it was just so weird. Like 20 minutes later, my aunt, who is not related to him at all, different side of the family, texted me about my other grandfather who's alive and fishing. And she like went on this whole rant about him fishing and sent me like a little fishing pole emoji. And I was like, oh, okay, I got it. You're there. You know, and then that was it. I never really heard anything from him again after that. But I think it's more, you know, I don't want to sound mean, but I don't need, like, I know he's fine. I'm good with it. Like, I wasn't super close with that grandfather, but the other two, I was with them all the time. I lived with them. You know, even though they passed away over 20 years ago, I think it's like 25 years now, I still kind of need that. So I do get it. And I think from the people you need it from, that's who you get it from, because they know that you miss them.
Right, right, right. And you might be getting signs, but you got to be open to them, and you got to trust them.
You got to trust, and you got to pay attention too, because sometimes you don't always realize what it is until you go to a medium and you're like, you know, I thought it was weird when I saw those three birds, you know, in a row on my table outside on my birthday, but I didn't think anything of it. You know, sometimes you realize after if a medium or it happens again, you know, a little synchronicity will happen, and it kind of points your attention to it.
True that. Very true. Here's another question. This one's a little bit longer. I will read it. Hi, please explain what is going on with kids who passed by suicide. I've been told that there are happy and healthy, that they are happy and healthy and free again. But other sources suggest that they need to work out their previous issues, and the same cycle that led to their demise is repeated over and over, thus mental torment. Do they suffer watching their parents' agony? Thank you.
So I've never had anyone come through who said that they were in a bad place or suffering, or I never get anything like that. And I would never want to say anything bad about anyone who does what I do. But I really do feel if anyone is telling you that, they're probably not connecting with the other side. They either think they do, or it's just not a reputable source.
Right. Because
any good medium that I know who's been tested, or even haven't been tested, but I know we're very good, my own experience, I don't know anyone who's ever said that someone's come through and they're suffering or they're not at peace, or it's just unheard of. Like, I've never had it happen. So that's number one. But I don't think that they suffer when we suffer, but I do think there's a certain amount of, you know, empathy on the other side. Like, I think they feel for us, and I don't think because we're grieving them or we're upset that it's making them suffer. Spirit always explained to me that grief is not, we don't always look at it for what it is, because they said to me that grief, they showed me like a coin, and they said that grief and love are two sides of the same coin. It's literally just another form of love, even though it hurts and it's terrible. You don't grieve for anything that you haven't loved before. You know what I'm saying?
True.
And I think without love, you can't have grief. So it really, if you think about it, it's the same thing. And it made sense to me when they said it. So I think that's why on the other side, if we're suffering with grief, our loved ones, not that they don't have sympathy or that they don't feel bad, but it's just a testament to how much we really love them. And they tell me on the other side that it's not just that they see what we feel and what we think, but they kind of they're able to experience it too, kind of through us, through our minds or our hearts, whatever you want to call it. So they're feeling all that love, even if it's pain to us. To them, they're like, oh my God, I can't, you know, the example, I've actually been asked this question before, and the example I use is like, if you ever had, and it's a silly example, but if you ever had an ex that you broke up with, right? If you, and you kind of think like, okay, like they moved on, oh my God, like, you know, they don't care. If you could be like, you know, a fly on the wall and feel what they're feeling for you during that breakup, you probably wouldn't be as sad. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be like, oh my God, like, this person really loves me. Like, they like, you know, were off for like 3 months because they couldn't stop thinking about me and they missed me so much. And, you know, I think when you see other people's, you know, pain, I guess you could say, and from a personal point of view, it really is sort of a compliment in a way, in a weird, twisted way.
Right.
But what'd you say? You there?
Oh yeah, I'm here.
So I think that's sort of the way that's the way that they've explained it to me, that it's much more about the love on the other side than them suffering. And that's why they do, to kind of bring in the last question that we had read, that's why they do give you signs so that you know that they're still there. And it might not make all the pain go away, but it sure does help to know that person is still there. And to answer the first part of the question, I think both of those are true. Like, I think people are, when after they anyone who commits suicide, they always tell me that they're not in that state of mind anymore. They're not in that like dark place. But I do think that they're learning at the same time. I don't think those are mutually exclusive. I think you can drop all of that pain from the physical world, and mm-hmm. then you could still learn from it. And I don't know about the whole stuck on a loop kind of thing. Like, that sounds a little bit like sounding a little Hollywood to me. I got to be honest.
Groundhog Day with Bill Murray.
It's sounding a little bit like a misinterpretation of some Eastern principle there. So I don't know if that's exactly how that works. That's not how they explained it to me. They have talked about past lives with me, and you know, any issues you have to iron out, I think you will bring into the next life. But I don't know if it's the same exact scenario over and over again. I kind of feel like it's just, you know, different circumstances but similar themes, if that makes sense.
I think we're brought into this life, we're very brave souls to undertake this adventure called life on Earth, because of the, you know, all the things going on, the physical limitation, the mental limitations, the heartache, the lessons, and it's like an accelerated learning program,
right?
In a way, because in spirit, everything is pretty much, you know, you want something, you got it. You want to be somewhere, you're there. That kind of thing. It's a lot easier. So there's not as much learning with that. And this is some stuff that I've read, and it kind of resonated with me personally. Mm. And I think that, you know, we don't remember our consciousness before we were born, because if we did, if things don't go right here, we'd be offing ourselves and, you know, reset, you know?
Right.
And what kind of learning experience does that afford us? None.
Right. Mm. None. Exactly.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. So, next question. Do you receive messages unexpectedly from beyond in which you are not prompting any communication?
That's sort of like what I think,
yeah,
being in a crowd. Every now and again, I'll get stuff from my guides, like randomly. I'll be like, why the hell did they tell me to do this? And then I'll listen and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, that's why. You know, I was, if I didn't leave at 2:30, then I would have, you know, not made it to wherever I was going, or, you know, little like silly things like that. But, honestly, mm-hmm. I really am like the least interesting medium you'll ever talk to, because I'm like, I talk to my medium friends and they're always getting like messages about like the world and this and that, and I'm like, I don't know, did you watch that new Netflix series? Like, I'm if I'm not working, like, I'm so not on the other side. Because
right.
I just sort of live my, I'm here, so I try to be here as much as possible.
Right, absolutely. It's and that I think that's a perfect way to be. Absolutely. So here's another question. After one has experienced a positive reading and a connection to a loved one on the other side, how best does one meditate, pray, or understand how to be more intentional about asking for and receiving signs from the person in daily life?
So I really think the only thing you have to do to ask for signs literally is just ask for it like you would anything else. But I always tell people, like, don't ask for it every single day, all day long. Like, I know people who every day are like, so-and-so, send me a sign. And I'm like, well, you know, number one, I don't even think that's feasible. You know what I mean? Like, to get a sign every single day, all day long from, you know, that person. You have to remember, we are still in different sort of planes of existence. So, like, I don't even know if that's a thing that can happen. But right. Also, you know, I again, this might be a little bit of an unpopular answer, but I really do think it's true from based on what Spirit has told me. They don't want to hold you back. So for some people, going to mediums and getting signs and stuff can be a little bit of a crutch. They won't live their lives because, you know, they're whoever the person is they want to hear from that past didn't tell them to do something, or you know, they're sticking around waiting for signs all day long and not, you know, I know it's an extreme example, but I do know quite a few people who really their whole focus is that person on the other side. And I don't think that's a bad thing if it's someone that you love. Of course, that's going to be a major focus in your life, but they always have me remind people that, you know, you are still alive when I'm reading them. You still have a life to live. So I think sometimes for people when they don't get signs as much as they would like to at the same frequency that they would, I think part of it might be that you are, you know, possibly relying on or spending too much time focusing on the other side, not your life. But it doesn't mean that that person won't send a sign. They might send you one once a week. Maybe it'll be once a month. But, you know, I always tell people to imagine you're the person who died and your family is, you're standing right there and you send them a sign and they say, oh my God, you know, Dad is here. We saw the sign that he sent and you go, oh good. So they know that I'm there. And then 3 days later for, you know, 4 weeks straight, they're like, send me another one, send me another one. You know, you kind of got to look at it from that point of view too. Like, are you really going to send it? Like you just showed them that you're there. You know what I mean? So it's not that they're mad at us that we're doubting or anything. I just, again, Spirit always tells me that's all about helping and helping you move forward with your life and helping you heal. And if it's going to become a crutch and something that, you know, if sending the sign is going to be empty and it doesn't mean anything, it's sort of like, what's the point? They'll send it when it does mean something. For your birthday, they'll send it. Or when you're having a hard time to let you know that they're there. They're not just going to, you know, keep sending on a Tuesday because you asked for it and, you know, it's enough for you. It's again, they're not mad, but it's not part of the way that they operate is the way that they've kind of showed it to me. But there's nothing wrong with asking. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking. Nope. I think it's just when it becomes sort of habitual that it's kind of like they're like, all right, you know, it's time.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that, you know, I've talked to some mediums on the show that said, I refuse to see people more than once or twice a year. That's it. You know,
I'm one of them. Honestly, I tell my clients I won't see them more than once in a 6 month period. But I kind of feel like for me, once a year, if you want to come twice, that's fine. But ideally, I feel like with me, once a year is just.
So those of you that are listening out there, if you got a weekly appointment with a medium, that ain't no medium. Get away from that person. They're just taking your money.
And you know, I know a few people who have seen a lot of different mediums, and I don't think there's anything really wrong with that, especially in the beginning if you're trying to prove to yourself that this is something real. I do think that is not a bad thing to do. But I've noticed that when people start going, like if you're going to a medium like twice a month for like a year, want to hear from kind of stop showing up. Not again, not because they're mad at you, but it's like there's nothing more to help you with. So there's no, you know, and it might
there's
seem
no purpose to it. Yeah.
Right. It's sort of the purpose kind of leaves.
And it actually could, it's almost like it could lead to almost like an addiction, you know?
Right. It's like, honestly, there's sort of an industry term that a lot of us mediums talk about. We talk about psychic junkies.
Junkies. There you go. Yeah, absolutely. I can see
you're
that.
You're not really helping them. You know, the thing is not helping. They might need therapy or they might need something else. You know, that's not what we do.
Absolutely. So we got another caller on the line. We got Jane from Indianapolis on line one. Jane, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I had a reading with you, Joe, yesterday.
Oh, hi, Jane.
Hi. And I wanted I had forgotten this, and I'm listening to the show, but you said I've got a hard head and Ed, my husband can't get in there to come to me in dreams. And I remembered, because I had forgotten, I have two questions. That's my first question, is he came last night, and he didn't look like he usually looked, but he had a mustache like he usually has, but it was white. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering about that. And then what made, I didn't even connect these two things. I don't remember what the dream was or anything, but it's the first time I remembered or that happened. And the dog woke up. The dog sleeps with me. He's a little dog, and he's really my husband's dog. And, mm-hmm. I mean, he loved my husband. And he woke up at 2:47. I remember that was the time. And mm-hmm. I don't know what he wanted. He sat on my stomach, and he made me get up off because he can't jump down off the bed. And I got down. I followed him around the house, and I said, I'm not, you know, what do you want? And I wonder the connection.
You know, it sounds like you might have had a visitation last night. I got to be honest, because animals, you know, they sense stuff a lot than humans do. I don't know about the white mustache thing. That I'm not too sure about, but maybe that has some significance you have to think about.
Okay.
But it's interesting because I do, just because I did read you yesterday, I do remember you saying that you don't really remember your dreams too much. So it is interesting that after we had that discussion, maybe that opened you up a little bit to have those dreams.
Could be. I did, and I've forgotten because my mind goes a million miles away during the day. Now, the other question I have is these people that, my friends that are doubting Thomas's, you know, they say, well, I tell them that you're all certified. And they say, well, what does that mean? How do you get certified?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get certified? Did I read something about a college or something?
Forever Family certifies their own mediums, and the process, you could read about it on their website, but I'll just tell you when I did it. I did 5 readings, 1 over the phone and then 4 over Zoom. And the people getting the readings, the sitters, are trained to not reveal any information. They go through like a little course there where it says, you know, you can only say yes, no, maybe, I need more information, and that's it. So they're trained to not lead you on. And they have like a very specific grading system, which they don't share with the mediums, but I know that it's pretty extensive. And then I believe that, I forget who told me, this might have been Bob who runs the foundation, that when they analyze the data from each medium, they analyze it in 5 different ways, like statistical. He explained it to me, but I think I was a couple of glasses of wine deep and it was all mathematic and I don't remember. It's a whole process, but it's basically controlled so that there's no information leakage. So no one can Google, no one can discern any information, old reading.
It's a double blind experiment. It's a double blind test, basically, because the medium doesn't know the sitter and the sitter doesn't know the medium. So it's double blind. There's no knowledge about each other or anything like that beforehand. So it's kind of interesting. Okay. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
If they want more information, just tell them to, you know, I find the people who doubt the most are the people who know the least about it. So tell them to research if they want to know a little more. There's plenty of resources out there.
Uh-huh. Cool. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. So we have another caller. Okay. Phones are lighting up today. Geez. So we have Nancy from New York on line 6. Nancy from New York, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great.
So
you got a question?
I have a question. Yes, yep. I do. I wanted to know if Joe could possibly tell me if I'm going to be having any psychic or medium abilities. And I could explain briefly. I had a visit from my grandmother who passed away in 2010 recently, and I was able to touch her and see her for the first time ever. And I asked her not to leave, and she said she had to go back upstairs, but she would be back. And she also told me that she'll always be by the veil, and I would be able to see her. Mm-hmm. And my cousin, who does not have any abilities at all, has such a strong feeling that I will be able to start seeing certain things and people in the future. And she's so insistent on it that she's right. And after having this visit, I'm just wondering if you know, Joe has any type of feeling about it, and if there's any way, if he thinks that I might be, to help it along.
You know, it's definitely possible. But I, you know, I always recommend with people when they want to start getting more in touch with their intuitive gifts, just meditate more. I know that sounds super like simple answer. But it really is. I think everyone has this ability. I think anyone can be psychic. I think anyone can communicate with the other side pretty much. So if you are already open to it and you're already getting visits and stuff, there's really nothing stopping you, my friend. I got to be honest.
Okay. But other than meditation, is there any other, anything else that I could do?
You know, honestly, that's really the only thing. I know a lot of people will try to sell you all kinds of, you know, products and classes and things, and there's nothing wrong with taking a class.
Oh, no, I'm not looking. Yeah. No.
You know, honestly, meditation is the way to go. Honestly, the only thing I did to become, not even become a medium, just to like open myself up. I just meditated for like, I don't know, I think it was like 8 months that I was like meditating every day, and I was really diligent about it. And, you know, here I am today. It just kind of, it opened you up. It's the only, I don't think there's any shortcuts.
And how did you start, what type of meditation did you do? I mean, because I really am not a person that meditates.
Just regular, like, clearing your mind meditation, super important, because then that snowballs into your life and your mind becomes more calm, you become less anxious, and you know, you got to kind of do all of that to be able to communicate with the other side. If there's too much noise in your head, it's just not going to happen. Then I did do some chakra meditations too, which if you like look them up on YouTube, there's a million there. Any one of them that you like, guided meditation, or you could, there's a million that you could like read and do the meditation, but anything to open up your chakras is also going to help a lot. But you got to, you know, like anything else, do it daily, you know, or at least two or three times. It's a skill,
okay.
But it will help. It'll open you up for sure.
And there's also a plethora. There's also a ton of books out there on, you know, how mediums have developed and, you know, how they've done it with some of their advice on meditation or anything else that they might offer. There's a lot of resources out there, and I can tell you about this one website. And I've mentioned it before on the program, Victor Zammit, Zammit, Victor Zammit. He's from Australia. He's a retired lawyer. Just Google that name. Go to the afterlife and sign up for his afterlife emails that you get every Friday or every Thursday, because it's when it's Thursday here, it's already Friday in Australia. They're called the Friday Afterlife Reports, and attached to those reports are videos and books and resources and everything. And it really, it's a plethora. It's one of the best places to get a lot of information about mediumship.
Oh, okay. I'll definitely look into that. All righty. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Nancy. Thanks for your call.
Take care. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. So let's go to another question. I got two more questions, and we're getting towards the end of the show. So this last one is, second to last, having lost my son and husband, I'm interested in knowing if our family life resume as each of my children who are still alive and myself pass on to the next life and join those family members who are already there.
Wait, so what's the question?
Well, I'm just reading it verbatim. Having lost my son and husband, comma, I am interested in knowing if our family life will resume as each of my children who are still alive and myself pass onto the next life and join those family members who are already there.
Okay, so I mean, they tell me all the time that they're reunited with everyone, even people that they didn't really even know on the other side.
Okay.
So, yeah, but I don't know what the person asking the question means by resume. Like, are you going to, you know, cook a certain thing on Tuesday nights and go to the supermarket? I don't know if that's really what life is on the other side. I think it's a little bit different than that. But yes, you will be together. I think that those bonds break at all.
I think that's what that person meant. You know, kind of the togetherness is the most important thing for sure. Okay, good. Asked and answered. I totally believe that as well. You know, you resonate with certain spirits, and, you know, you're part of soul groups and families are part of those soul groups, and you were there before, you're going to be there again with them.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Last question is, might spirits impersonate someone and tell lies without the person or medium suspecting such? If any mediums claim they can know this, can they explain how they determine this? And what percentage of such do know for sure or think they can know?
So I personally, I'll try to be brief because I know we don't have a lot of time, but I think a lot of that fear comes from religious beliefs. So I think that, you know, you kind of have to question where that belief comes from in our minds and in our society and stuff. But to be honest, I can't say I know for sure. I know that I feel that it's that person and they're giving accurate information about who they claim to be. I have no reason to suspect that it's you know, someone posing as someone else. And the way that they explain it to me on the other side is that you really can't hide because you're just energy and energy doesn't lie. So right. I don't think that that's a possibility, but I can't, you know, I haven't died recently, so I can't really answer that for sure.
Right. And also think of this, to what means, why would they do that?
Right. Like what is it going to accomplish for, you know, an evil spirit to lie and give you peace and then not do anything else to you? Like, what?
Yeah, exactly. So listen, we've reached the end of the show. That's like the fastest hour I've ever experienced. It's really good. Really, it was fascinating. Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me again. I always enjoy it.
Awesome, awesome. And thank you to our listeners. And, you know, we'll see you in about a month. I'll be back in a month. And until then, you know, just know that your loved ones are a heartbeat away and that science will one day prove that. Thank you very much, everybody, and good night.